happens at Johnson Middle School at any given day. A lot of learning, a lot of activity, and certainly a lot of noise. If you listen closely enough, in the noise, you will hear the voices of our students, who are just beginning to figure out how to use their individual voices to express themselves. We created the JMS Voices podcast to share some of this joyful noise.
I am Sherlock Holmes.
Watson here.
From JMS Drama, this is Sherlock Holmes, a radio mystery.
Good evening, Sherlock Holmes.
I'm afraid you have the advantage of me.
You cannot deduce my identity by the powder I use, or my lodgings by the mud speck on my shoe?
I could, of course, though I have no reason. But now that you mention it, I believe you live on Regent Street.
Bravo, Mr. Holmes. Accurate as an arrow, in a way.
You have a very small, thin leaf caught in your hair. From a yew tree, I should imagine. There are a few in London.
But on Regent Street?
6.
I visited Regent Street this morning, so you are both right and wrong, all in a bundle.
More right than wrong, I think.
Do you not dance, Mr. Holmes? Is it not a prerequisite when you attend a ball?
I fear I am here for other purposes.
A murder, I assume.
Something far less interesting. Defrauding of a bank.
Oh dear, that is boring. Would you dance with me, Mr. Holmes? I am generally found more amusing than a bank.
Of that I have no doubt.
Well then. Ah, what a nice surprise. You dance superbly.
It is a mechanical skill.
Wrong and wrong and wrong again. It is the poetry of two persons in tune, a door which might just open to things surprising and beautiful and not a whit mechanical.
A door I choose not to open as it would distract me from my mistress.
Ah, now the conversation begins to interest me. I hope you will not tell me your mistress is in deduction.
Precisely.
An answer without perfume. I am, however, a linguist of the dance, and from the light pressure of your hand upon my waist, and the fact your eyes do not move from mine, I deduce you are not completely devoid of poetry. Oh dear, I always hate the end of things when the poetry is just beginning. I am Irene Adler.
I knew.
I knew you knew. I'm not finished with you, Sherlock Holmes.
Watson here. You've heard about Irene Adler? To Sherlock Holmes, she was always the woman. I have seldom heard him mention her under any other name. In his eyes, she eclipses all. Holmes, of course, is the most perfect reasoning machine the world has seen. He had never spoke of personal relationships, and yet there was but one woman to him, and that was the late Irene Adler. I had seen little of Holmes for some time. My marriage drifted us apart. However, on the 20th of March, I was returning home when I saw his rooms were brilliantly lit. I could see a silhouette pacing about. Not being able to quell my curiosity, I went boldly up. His manner was not effusive.
Ah, Watson, well, there you are.
I hope I do not disturb.
Not in the least. Come in. Wedlock seems to suit you. You have put on 7.5 pounds since I last saw you.
Only 7, I think.
No, 7.5. I see you have a clumsy, careless servant girl.
Old friend, you would certainly be burned at the stake a few centuries ago. Mary Jane is incorrigible. How did you work it out?
Simplicity itself. Your boots are scuffed, obviously, by a servant scraping mud off without paying attention.
I am always baffled until you explain your process, and yet I believe my eyes are as good as yours.
Quite so, but you must remember to observe as well as see. For example, you've climbed the steps leading up to this room before.
Hundreds of times.
Then how many are there?
How many? I don't know.
Elementary. You have seen, but you have not observed. 17 steps. I know this because I have both seen and observed. Come in. Good heavens, Miss Hudson. What are you doing up at this hour?
A landlady never sleeps, Mr. Holmes. I heard a familiar voice, so I came up with a bit of tea and biscuits.
A pleasure to see you, Miss Hudson.
Oh, but we've missed you, Dr. Watson. Mr. Holmes is too much alone and up to heaven knows what. Needs a bit of company, he does.
Thank you, and good night, Miss Hudson.
Good night yourself, Mr. Holmes. I found him a very nice lady down the block, Mr. Watson. Educated like a queen, widow to a bridge builder. Quite a beauty, if I may say so. But he won't hear of it, going off his rocker from solitude, if you ask me.
See here.
Really, Miss Hudson? You must tell me more.
More nonsense, I say. Out, Miss Hudson, go!
It's not natural, Dr. Watson. You must give him a talking to.
Shall I give you a talking to, Holmes?
You most certainly shall not.
You do seem a bit irritable.
Bosh, but as you are here, take a look at this letter.
Very nice paper.
Came in the morning's post.
Well, I have a moment for a sit-down. Let's see. A gentleman will call on you tonight upon the matter of the very deepest importance. Don't stare over my shoulder, Holmes. It's distracting. Your recent services to one of the royal houses of Europe show you may be trusted. Be in your chambers at 8 o'clock. Do not take amiss if your visitor wears a mask. What do you suppose it means?
It is a capital mistake to theorize before one has data. One begins to twist facts to suit theories instead of theories to suit facts. But the note itself, what do you deduce?
Expensive paper, this.
Not English paper at all. Holds up to the light.
All right, then. Large E with a small G, a P, and a large G with a small T, woven into the texture of the paper. Perhaps the name of the maker?
Look here. The G with a small T stands for Gesellschaft, which is German for company. The EG stands for the city of Iberia. It is in the German-speaking country of Bohemia.
Thus, the paper was made in Bohemia.
Precisely. We can tell that the man who wrote the note is German. But what is wanted by a German who writes on Bohemian paper and prefers wearing a mask? And here he comes, if I'm not mistaken. Come to the window, Watson. Look, expensive carriage, beautiful horses. Stay with me, Doctor. This promises to be interesting. It would be a pity to miss it. Listen. The heaviness of his steps upon the stairs makes him over 200 pounds. Do come in.
I told you I would call.
Pray, take a seat. This is my colleague, Dr. Watson.
A pleasure.
Whom have I the honor to address?
Count von Kram of Bohemia. May I trust your companion?
Absolutely and completely.
I bind you to complete secrecy for 2 years. Our conversation may influence European history.
We agree.
Excuse the mask. He who employs me wishes my identity to be unknown to you. The name I gave you is not exactly my own.
I assume so.
The matter implicates the King of Bohemia.
And you are the King of Bohemia.
How did you know?
Just there, on your forehead, a lasting indentation made only by a crown.
Amazing.
One has only to use one's eyes.
5 years ago in Warsaw, I made the acquaintance of the well-known adventuress Irene Adler.
Ah, prima donna at Poland's Imperial Opera, retired from the stage and living in London.
How do you know this?
It is my business to know London.
And Irene Adler.
Your Majesty wrote the lady letters and you now desire them back.
Precisely so, but how?
Was there a secret marriage?
None.
No legal papers or certificates?
None.
Then how is she to prove the paper's authenticity?
There is the writing.
Bosh. Forgery.
My private note paper?
Stolen.
My royal seal?
Counterfeited.
We were both in a photograph.
Oh dear. It must be recovered, bought, or stolen.
5 attempts have been made and failed.
Absolutely delightful.
What is...
What does she propose to do with the photographs?
Ruin me. You see, I'm about to be married. Clotilda Lothman von Saxe-Meiningen, daughter of the King of Scandinavia. Hers is a family of strict principles. She herself is the soul of delicacy. A shadow of doubt and the marriage is called off.
And Irene Adler?
Threatens to send them the photograph.
Would anyone care for tea?
No.
She is resolute. She has a soul of steel. She does not wish me to marry another.
And you are sure she has not sent it yet?
She has not.
And why not?
She said that she will send it on the day the betrothal is publicly proclaimed. That will be next Monday.
Oh, good. We have 3 days left. All is well with the world. No, I think I'll have another cup, Watson. 3 days is fortunate, for I have 2 matters of importance to be looked into.
But...
Your Majesty will stay in London?
At the Langham Hotel, under the name of Von Kram.
I shall be in contact.
I shall be all anxiety.
Then as to money?
Absolutely anything that is needed.
How nice.
I would give one of my country's provinces to have that photograph.
I have no need of province, but for present expenses?
In this leather bag, you will find £300 in gold and 700 in notes.
That should do, eh, Watson?
Yes, quite.
The mademoiselle's address?
Bryony Lodge, Serpentine Avenue, St. John's Wood.
I'll show you out.
No need. Is there a tavern nearby?
To your left. Quite fascinating, Holmes.
Indeed. Call tomorrow at 3 o'clock, Watson. I should like to chat more about this matter.
Until then. The next day, at 3 o'clock precisely, I was outside the Baker Street office, but Holmes had not yet returned. I was already deeply interested in this business, as the exalted station of his client gave it a character of its own. It was close to 4 when a disheveled passerby hailed me.
Give me a light, then, gent, if you be so kind.
One moment. I believe I have a match in my pocket.
Well, hurry up, then.
Good heavens! Is that you, Holmes?
I'm very much afraid it is.
You look perfectly filthy.
A bit of a laugh, eh? Guess what I've been up to.
I suppose you've been watching the habits and perhaps the house of Irene Adler?
Quite so. But the sequel was rather unusual. Shall we go up to my office? I'm being eaten by fleas. I left here this morning in the character of an out-of-work groom from the racetrack, as you just saw. I soon found Irene Adler's Briny Lodge, so of course I walked around and examined it. I ran across a lane where horse trainers were at work, and by lending a hand came into the possession of a mug of malt and as much information about Miss Adler as I could desire. There now. I look a bit more myself, eh, Watson? It would seem Miss Adler is in the judgment of working men, the daintiest thing under a bonnet on this planet.
Tea?
Please. Adler lives quietly, sings concerts, and returns at 7 for dinner. A Mr. Godfrey Norton, very dashing, seems to be her beau. They knew all and nothing about him at the same time. Was she his client, friend, or mistress? Excellent tea, Watson. Now, if client, perhaps she had given him the photograph for safekeeping. If mistress, it is less likely. I fear I bore you with these details.
By no means.
The woman intrigues.
Oh, does she?
None that way, you insinuate, Watson. You are an incurable romantic.
I speak not of romance, but your intense interest.
There are criminals aplenty to do me that service.
Not the same thing at all, I'm afraid.
Your marriage has addicted you to nonsense.
Admit you have spoken of her often.
Miss Adler deserves attention, as she has the mind and charm to excel at crime.
And is that the only reason you pursue her?
This is nonsense. Attend me. I was walking back from her house when a cab drew up, when a remarkably handsome man jumped out. Godfrey Norton, without a doubt.
Cookie?
No, thank you. This Mr. Norton marched into Adler's home, was there half an hour. Presently, he stepped out of the cab, shouting, "Drive like the devil to Grossen Hankey's on Regent Street, and then to the church on St. Monica and Edgeworth Road."
Intriguing.
Away he went.
If you gesticulate like that, Holmes, you'll smash the glassware.
Suddenly, out trot Irene Adler, who stopped another cab and gave the same address. This being too good to lose, Watson, I commanded the third cab, and the race was on. Upon arrival, I run into the church, and there they were, clergyman in the hand, at the altar. Norton immediately ran towards me, crying out, "You'll do."
What then?
He yanked me by my arm, saying, "Come on, man, only 3 minutes, or it won't be legal." So there I was, Watson, serving witness as they tied the knot of matrimony.
Preposterous!
Not tied, I signed as witness as the clergyman required. Norton gave me a sovereign and rushed out. Irene, sprinting by his side, said, "I shall be at the park by 5. Then they left in different vehicles. So I am in need of your service, Watson.
Delighted.
You don't mind breaking the law?
I'll try anything once.
The cause is excellent.
Done.
I was sure I could rely on you.
Explain.
It's nearly 5 now. In 2 hours, we must be on the scene. Madame Irene returns at 7, and we must be there to meet her.
And what then?
You must leave that to me. I've already arranged what is to occur. You must not interfere, come what may.
In no case.
Do nothing whatsoever. There will probably be a small unpleasantness. Do not join in. It will end in me being conveyed into the house. Minutes later, the sitting room window will be open. Station yourself by the open window.
Done.
I will be visible to you.
Yes.
When I raise my hand, you will throw into the room what I give you to throw.
Excellent.
Then cry, "Fire!" You quite follow me?
I have learned the part and will perform.
First rate. I ask that you leave now, as I must prepare for my new role I have to play.
Very well. My role has always been a minor player involved in a necessary action.
Glad to see you're still here on the landing. I forgot to itemize your work. Take this. It is an ordinary plumber's snake rocket fitted with a cap at either end to make it self-lighting. Your cry of help will be taken up by quite a number of people. Then, Watson, walk to the end of the street and I will rejoin you in 10 minutes. Have I been clear?
Eventually.
Good. I have makeup to apply. Wish us luck.
I do not despair at my small part, for it allows me to watch and analyze a certain sort of genius at close range. The British stage lost a fine actor, but the nation gained its greatest specialist in crime. At 6 o'clock, we reached Bryony Lodge. Holmes was disguised as a simple-minded clergyman with thick glasses and benevolent curiosity. There is a group of shabbily dressed men, a scissors grinder, 2 soldiers flirting with a nurse, and several well-dressed young men lounging about and laughing.
You see, Watson, this marriage rather simplifies matters. The photograph becomes a double-edged sword. Godfrey Norton would not care for it at all. The question is, where do we find the photograph?
On her person?
It is unlikely she carries it about with her. The king is quite capable of having her waylaid and searched.
Where then?
Perhaps her banker or lawyer. But why would she hand it over to anyone else? Besides, remember that she has resolved to use it within a few days. I have come to think it is in her own house.
But how will you look?
I will not look.
What then?
I will get her to show me.
But she will refuse.
She will not be able to.
Explain.
No time. I hear her carriage now.
Just as Madame Adler's carriage pulled up, one of the loafing men dashed forward and opened the door in hope of earning a copper, but was elbowed away by another, and a fight broke out.
Here now, get away from that.
Hands off of me.
Have a bit of this then.
Ow!
Irene Adler rushed out, followed by a maid. A man charged towards her, and Holmes pulled him away.
Hands off of me, mate. Try this disguise.
The man struck Holmes a blow, and he fell unconscious, and he lay bloodily on the ground. Irene Adler spoke over the crowd.
You shall all be arrested!
Let's get out of here, lads.
Others who watched the scuffle moved to help the injured man.
Is that gentleman hurt? He's a brave fellow.
They would have had Milady's purse and watch if it hadn't been for him.
Bring him inside.
Yes, Miss Adler.
Thus, Holmes was taken in and lamps lit. I could see him in the window gently attended by Madame Adler. I saw Holmes motion like a man who needed air. The maid threw open the window. At that same instant, Holmes raised his hand in the air. And at that signal, I threw the snake rocket and yelled, "Fire!" I then moved on as ordered. Holmes arrived in a few minutes.
You've done very nicely, Doctor. Nothing could have been better.
You have the photograph?
I know where it is.
How did you find out?
She showed me, as I said she would.
You leave me in the dark.
The matter was perfectly simple. You saw, of course, that everyone on the street was my accomplice. A theater company engaged for the evening.
I guessed as much.
When the row broke out, I had moist red paint in my hand, rushed forward, clapped my hand to my face, and became a piteous spectacle.
An old theater trick, I imagine.
From my days upon the stage at 17.
What?
I had everything but talent, Watson. Makeup was my specialty.
Why did I never know this?
Is it sensible to enumerate your failures? Now, as I was carried and put on the couch, I motioned for air, and they opened the window. Then you committed arson, or at least smoke.
How did that help you?
It was all important. The smoke and shouting were enough to shake nerves of steel. She responded beautifully. The photograph is in a secret recess just beside the bell pull. She half drew it out. When I cried, it was a false alarm. She replaced it and rushed from the room. I looked about and decided it was safer to leave it in its nook for the present. A little over-precipitance could ruin all.
And now?
I shall call upon her with the king tomorrow. If you care to come, we'll be shown into the same sitting room to wait for the lady. It will be probable that when she comes, she will find neither us nor the photograph.
When will you call upon her?
Tomorrow. Come early for breakfast. Then we will depart to arrive at 8 in the morning. She will not be up, so we will have a clear field. I must wire the king with no delay. Back to Baker Street, eh?
Shh! Someone's coming.
Good night, Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Who the devil was that? I've heard that voice before. Good night, Watson.
The next morning, we were on to a poached egg when...
Have you really got it?
Good morning, Your Majesty. No, not yet.
But you have your hopes?
I have hopes. Buttered toast, Your Majesty?
No. I'm all impatient to be gone.
Then we must find a cab.
Not at all. My carriage is waiting. Come. You are a magician, Sir Holmes. I cannot commend you highly enough. Turn at the next right on Bryony Lodge, driver. Quickly now.
You should know that Irene Adler is married.
Married? When?
Yesterday.
But to whom?
To an English lawyer named Norton.
But she could not love him.
I'm in hope she does.
In hope? But why?
Because it would spare your majesty all fear of future annoyance.
That seems impossible to know.
If the lady loves her husband, she does not love your majesty. If she does not love you, why should she interfere with your engagement?
It is true. And yet...
You speak your mind, Your Majesty.
What a queen she would have made.
I quite agree.
You know her?
Know her? No. I danced with her once.
Good heaven! You dance?
I've heard it called the poetry of two persons in tune, which is, of course, rubbish.
Oh, yes. Of course.
I believe there are very few people in this world who, once met, leave their imprint on you. She, unfortunately, is one.
A very romantic idea, Your Majesty.
We're here. Bryony Lodge.
May I help you? Oh, Mr. Sherlock Holmes, I believe.
I am Sherlock Holmes.
Miss Adler, beg pardon, Miss Norton, told me you would call. She will not see you.
What? See here, madame. Please tell the lady we are coming in.
You are quite free to enter, but she left this morning by 5:15 train for Madrid.
Impossible.
Not at all.
You mean she left England?
Never to return.
In the photograph? All is lost.
She instructed me, Mr. Holmes, to give you this. And with that, I ask kindly that you leave.
I've lost the lady, but gained a package.
Is it possible?
Pray let me see it. It is only a photograph of Irene Adler herself.
May I see? Well, it's certainly not the photograph. Here, Holmes, an accompanying letter could be less till called for.
Let me see. My dear Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
You really did it very well. You took me in completely, Mr. Sherlock Holmes. I had been warned against you months ago. You know, Mr. Holmes, I found it hard to think evil of such a dear old clergyman, even as I understand costume. I myself have often dressed as a man to take advantage of the freedom it allows. As a man, I followed you to your door yesterday and so made sure that I was really an object of interest to the celebrated Sherlock Holmes. You'll recall I said goodnight to you.
I knew it. So, Mr. Holmes, my husband and I both thought the best resource was flight. Thus, you will find the nest empty when you call.
As to the photograph, your client may rest in peace. I love and am loved by a better man than he. The king...
Here you are, Your Majesty.
I hardly dare look. The king may do what will without hindrance from one who he has cruelly wronged.
I keep the photograph only to safeguard myself and to preserve a weapon which will always secure me. I instead leave a photograph Your Majesty might care to possess. Mr. Sherlock Holmes, a great pity that you don't dance. Very truly yours, Irene Norton.
Did I not tell you how quick and resolute she was? Would she not have made an admirable queen?
I'm sorry that I have not been able to bring Your Majesty business to a more successful conclusion.
On the contrary, my dear sir, I know her word is inviolate. That photograph is as safe with her as if we had put it on the fire.
I'm glad to hear Your Majesty say so.
I am immensely indebted to you. Pray tell me what your reward should be.
Your Majesty has something which I should value highly.
You have but to name it.
The photograph you hold.
Irene's photograph? Good heavens, certainly if you wish it.
I thank Your Majesty. Then there is nothing more to be done in this matter.
You're a surprise, Sir Holmes. I wish you also a goodbye, Mr. Watson. I have the honor to wish you two a very good morning.
We departed. It was over, and that's how the great scandal was averted. Holmes told me that some 3 years later on, he was walking home on a moonless evening.
Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Miss Irene Norton.
You see through me immediately.
You are more memorable than any disguise.
Am I, Mr. Holmes?
You have need to hide yourself away?
Only for my freedom and entertainment.
Your husband?
He has business elsewhere in Europe. Will you dine with me, Mr. Holmes?
I must not.
You must not, or you dare not. I have often thought of you.
And I of you.
In a world of patterns, you are an original.
Not perhaps so much as yourself.
Do you believe all things to be a matter of fortune and time?
The opposite. I believe all things to have logic that with effort and deduction can be clearly understood.
I deny logic quite regularly.
And I cannot. It is my passion and profession.
Ugh, a life of impenetrable logic. How dreadful.
It has its fascinations.
It must. Most men would dine with me.
For some men, it would be only dinner. I must go.
We will not meet again, Mr. Holmes.
You may be sure I already regret it.
I adore you.
And I you. Good evening.
Fool.
To Sherlock Holmes, the personal relationships were admirable things for the observer, excellent for drawing the veil from men and women's motives and actions. For himself, however, they introduced a distracting factor which might throw a doubt upon all his mental results. Still, I do know that he always kept the lady's picture, and one would suppose, on occasion, he looks at it.
Thank you for listening to the JMS drama production of Sherlock Holmes, A Radio Mystery. It was adapted by John Jory, produced by special arrangement with Pioneer Drama Service, Denver, Colorado. Sherlock Holmes was performed by Justin Barassi. Dr. Watson was performed by our assistant director, Amelia Durso. The King was performed by Shane Driscoll. Irene Adler was performed by Deuthi Prashant. Mrs. Hudson was performed by Caitlin McCabe. The Maid was performed by Kira Connors, and Our Fighter was performed by Amritha Devaraj. This podcast was directed and edited by me, Mrs. Calandrelli. Special thanks to Ms. Smith and Ivy Trong for our sound effects. Thank you to Ms. Burke and Mr. Warren, our production team. Thank you to our wonderful admin team, Mr. Morganweck and Mr. Cashman, for supporting our drama program. Special thanks to Ms. O'Leary and Ms. Savini for our amazing buttons and magnets. And a very special thank you to the parents and guardians of our student actors in helping them prepare for their roles. Be on the lookout for our upcoming virtual production of The Search for Signs of Intelligent Life on Earth, an out-of-this-world virtual play.
Priorities by Logan McKay and Armand Kakar.
A world that was once a wild wonder is being destroyed for its lumber, hurting nature as the trees are cut down just for money to be thrown around. As I step outside to view the grassland, all I see is an arid wasteland. As the earth turns into a ball of waste, regret is all there is to taste.
All I smell is pollution. That's why stopping it is the best solution. Stop global warming. We do not have a plan B. The truth is we do not try to survive the animals. The animals try to survive us. Reduce waste and do it with haste. When you waste food, you waste life. Just because it is natural does not mean it is unlimited.
Just because we use it does not mean we should abuse it. That is why what I stand for is what I stand on.
Instead of building cities and skyscrapers, build back our earth before it is all gone. We need to fix our mistake before it becomes permanent. That is why earth needs to be our top priority. Priorities by Logan McKay and Armand Kakar.